Good morning. So we have quite a few things to pray about this morning. So get your prayer heart on, your prayer veil, or prayer, get in your prayer closet. So Jesse, I'm going to turn this on. You can just crank it down a little bit. So first, we're going to pray for Hopi's grandbaby, who just was born, was it the beginning of the week? I mean, pretty soon, just about a week, right? Yeah. And unfortunately, because of some medication that her daughter was on, the baby is having complications. So, yeah, thank you. That's good. And so we're going to pray. What's the baby's name? Raiden.
Raiden.
Raiden. Raiden. Okay. Raiden. Ray. I want to make sure. Pray the right baby here. All of a sudden, a baby out there. Oh, I'm doing great. Father, we just pray right now, Lord, for Raiden. Lord, we pray that you would touch him, Lord, right now, deep in his body. Lord, you are the one that is our healer.
Yes, Lord.
You're the one that brings us life. And so right now, Lord, we pray for Raiden that there would be a touch of life, Lord, wherever he is in that hospital. Lord, that surging through his body, Lord, would be the healing touch of Jesus. And Lord, we just ask you to bless him, bless the mother, Lord, and bless everybody involved, God, with your presence, with your love and your mercy. In Jesus' name. And then we need to pray for your daughter, who is actually in Miami right now. And your mother's heart's probably pitter-pattering quite a bit, right?
So they got the news that the house is flooded.
The house is flooded.
Mm-hmm. But she's at her mother-in-law's house. So
higher elevation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And storm windows.
No, not higher elevation. You got hurricane windows. So, Father, right now we just pray, Lord, for Chantel's daughter right now and the whole family, Lord, mm-hmm. that's there in Miami. Lord, we know, God, that you are in charge of your angels to have charge over us. Mm-hmm. So, Father, right now, we just pray that your protective angels, your protective works in your kingdom, Lord, would surround that home, would surround all of the family and loved ones, Lord, of Chantel, and that there would be, God, a testimony of your saving grace. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your angels watch over us. They take charge over us, Lord, and we just release that now, Lord, in the healing salvation work of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And then one more. We got a really difficult report this week. Our daughter's husband, Adam, lost his dad. And this was Monday. And so they're coming up here for the services. But he was not that old. I mean, he was pretty close to our age. Or no, I guess he's a little older.
A little bit.
Still doesn't seem very old. You know, when you think 70 now, when I'm 57, it's like, that's not very old. That's only 13 years. But Father, we pray right now for the family. Lord, we pray that you would use this, Lord, incident, Lord, to draw all of them closer to you. Lord, we know that he, Lord, is looking at you, Lord, and we pray that he would come into a full relationship and trust in you, Lord, as he sees you face to face. Lord, we know his background has had all kinds of stuff, but Lord, we know that you love him with an everlasting love. Neither death nor life, Lord, can separate him from your love. So let your love work not only in him, but in his whole family. Draw them to yourself, Lord.
Yes,
help them
God.
To know you fully
yes,
as Savior God. And Lord, as Son of God, as the one true creator of all creation. We just ask this now in Jesus' name. Thank you for indulging. I didn't want to just pray all those together. They were all so big. So I'm going to go ahead and read from a book that I'm almost done with. I started it yesterday, and it's a big book, and I couldn't put it down. I highly recommend all of you to go out and get it on Kindle, buy it. It's called Josiah's Fire, but it's about an autistic boy who was severely autistic to the place where his classmates, and he went to like those different places where you're getting therapy, and he never was getting up over like even like a 1 or 2 year old, and he was 5. And so the prognosis wasn't very good. His mother was a strong believer, praying, wondering, all asking God all these questions why it happened. Well, lo and behold, one day, after a whole bunch of different therapy and different things, she was working on communicating with him through an iPad. And she asked him to tell her, what did Jesus do? Heal the blind man or play with the blind man? And so he showed heal. So she turned for a moment, and then next thing she knows, he's typed on the iPad, all ran together, God is a good gift giver. And so that started a journey with her and him. And now he actually has a Josiah's Fire webpage, Facebook page, and it communicates some pretty dynamic truths. So I want to just read one part of this book to you, and this is about worship. Because we're just about ready to worship the Lord. And it's really sometimes easy to just go through the motions when it comes to worship. Especially if we've had a bad week, or we're tired, or we don't know the songs. And so you can easily just kind of put it on autopilot. Well, listen to this. Now, he writes kind of differently, so just bear with him. Rise up music to me that positively answers my question. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. It is only singers, not worshipers, that sputter intelligent words, but live like they don't care a thing about proudly praising me. It is rotten to slog through minors to skip the majors time and again. Pockets of double-minded choices about how to sing something are missing the point. How about just answering the question, do you love me? Don't worry if it's catchy. Just worry if it's sung with passion and truth. It is like a gong to me if it's clever, but not joyful or stirring to the spirit of God's breath on you. Jot it down, musicians, and I'll bend my ear to nurture your congregation. Is that not right from the heart of God? So, Lord, we do. We turn our hearts to you right now. And, Lord, I pray if there's anything in us, Lord, that would keep us from entering into a time of just loving you, of just realizing, Lord, how much you love us. And in response, we love you back this morning with our praise and our worship. Lord, we know that it's not always perfect. But, Lord, you're not after perfection. You're after pure hearts. So, Lord, with pure hearts, we come to you this morning. And we thank you, God, that you are doing a miracle in our midst. Thank you. Had spillage.
Spillage, babe.
It should be fine. Oops. Okay, praise the Lord.
So we're standing up there, and I'm like, the Lord, I feel the Lord's giving me something. I'm like, Vicky, I need my iPad. And she brings it to me. It's like, God says, not yet. Not yet. So I figured out he was trying to say, I don't want anything to come between what I'm about to say to you, him saying that, and even music. You know what I mean? So one of my favorite portions of scripture is found in Acts, believe it or not. And it's in chapter 4, and it starts at verse 13. And it says this, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and discovered that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized these men had been with Jesus. Now that reminds me of what you read earlier. And what I want to say is people will recognize if you've been with Jesus or not. No matter what the lip service is saying, they will recognize if you've been with Jesus or not. And that when he was reading about, you know, that our praises wouldn't just be, how did he put it? I can't remember how you read that, but it was so powerful to me because God was saying, that's my heart right there. That's what it's all about right there. Whether or not there's good singing or not so good, whether or not there's lots of people or hardly any, whether or not there's a hurricane or a fire or. This is what it's all about.
Whether they sputter intelligent words but live like they don't care a thing about proudly praising me.
Yeah. People will recognize whether we've been with Jesus or not. Love that.
Okay. Amen. And speaking about being with Jesus, we're going to talk about somebody who did just that. Nicodemus goes to Jesus by night. And so we're going to read about that. I've got on here John 3, 1 through 12, but we're only going to make it through about verse 6, because there's so much in this. And I want you to, as we're communicating, Gay and myself, I want you to be thinking about if there's anything the Lord's putting on your heart that you can help bring to this communication, that it's not just a one-way deal. I know sometimes it feels awkward to maybe sometimes be saying things, and if it's like being prompted in your heart though, and you're thinking of something, it keeps coming back to you. That's most likely the Lord wanting us to hear also what he's communicating to you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So I'm going to have Gay read
1 through 6.
1 through 12.
Okay, 1 through 12. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we've seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things, you would not believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" Verse 11 kind of goes along with the theme, doesn't it?
Verse 11 kind of goes with the theme, yeah. So looking at this from a kind of just a story standpoint, it says there was a man of the Pharisees. Now, I have mentioned before what Pharisees is, but a lot of people, you know, either forget it sometimes or maybe haven't heard before. And a Pharisee is one who believes in the miraculous of God, angels, heaven, the afterlife, resurrection. They were the very spiritually thinking sect of the Jews. Now there was another group that was called the Sadducees, and they didn't believe in the resurrection. They were also not that big on miracles and all the angels and all that stuff. They believed in, you know, this is it. God's put us here, and you know what we have, we deal with, and maybe He'll intervene sometime with a, you know, opening the Red Sea, but that's very far and few between.
So they were sad, you see.
They did not believe in the resurrection, so they were sad, you see. That's why I always remember Pharisees and Sadducees. So if you ever hear Sadducees, know that they don't believe in the resurrection. Your Pharisees, they believe in the resurrection. As a matter of fact, Paul was a Pharisee. And he believed in the resurrection, and that was one of his arguments in his very last time before he ends up going before Caesar eventually. And he said, "I'm a Pharisee, and I believe in the resurrection, and that's why I stand here." So Nicodemus was of that group. He came to Jesus, says this man came to Jesus by night and said to him. Now, it's interesting that he's not coming in the open of day. Yeah. He's coming by night. And it's probably because he did not want to be seen. I'm just, you know, paraphrasing here. We don't know. But it's interesting. He says, by night. He didn't say, you know, he came to Jesus and talked to him. You know, John made a point saying came by night. And Nicodemus was inquiring of Jesus at night. Probably, again, while there wasn't whole big crowds around. And potentially while there weren't going to be people that were going to rat him out that he was going and talking to Jesus. And it says he came by night and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." So I think it's interesting. He doesn't say, "I know." He says, "We know." So whatever group he was with that was attesting to it, it sounds like he was the spokesperson that went to Jesus to find out, okay, what's this all about? You know, you're not running in the normal circles, you know, you're not with us Pharisees and stuff, but obviously you're a teacher that came from God because you do signs. And what was Nicodemus? He was a Pharisee and he saw signs, and that told him that God was at work. So, you know, Jesus could have said anything. Yes, Nicodemus, you recognize my power. You recognize where I come from.
Good
you
job.
Recognize who I am. Yeah, well done, you know. But he doesn't. Jesus always had a way of just spinning things on their head, and that's what he does with Nicodemus. He answers him and basically makes a statement that is one that is still being debated to this day. What did Jesus say completely? But he says, here we go. "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" So Nicodemus, I want to tell you this. And he used a Hebrew word twice. It doesn't show up in English the way that it shows up in Hebrew. He used the word aman. And we actually learned about this, didn't we, Jesse? Aman. It means, "So be it as God has said it." So it's almost like an agreement to something. And he said, "Nicodemus, aman, aman." In other words,
Nicodemus, what I'm about to tell you is true because God has said it and I'm agreeing with it. But he didn't just say it one time, he said it twice. So when you see Jesus say, verily, verily, in the King James, or you see, usually it's most assuredly translated, that's aman, aman twice, and Jesus is trying to make a very significant point. Mm-hmm. I say to you, lest one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So here's Nicodemus asking, okay, Jesus, we see all the signs you're doing, so you must be a teacher from God, so like, what's it all about? And Jesus makes a statement, here's what it's all about. Unless one is born again, Nicodemus, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You can't recognize the kingdom of God. You can't view the kingdom of God in the way that God desires you to view it. This is interesting because we later find out that the kingdom of God is within us. It's not that the kingdom of God was something that Nicodemus had to try to find someplace.
Right.
It's not the kingdom of God was not a place that he had to go to. Or the kingdom of God was not some condition that he had to act like. The kingdom of God was within him. I didn't put that in here, but you can go look that up. It's many places, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is within us. Mm-hmm. So he was trying to tell Nicodemus, before you're going to see this kingdom within you, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. Now the Young Little translation says it this way. And that's why the title is Born Again, Born from Above, Born from the Beginning, because the connotations of that word actually include all those three different potential meanings. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, there's the verily, verily, aman, aman, I say to thee, if anyone may not be born from above, he is not able to see the reign of God or the kingdom of God. So one translation says born again. Another translation says born from above. And if we go to one more, this is the Aramaic. Aramaic is very close to the Hebrew. The Hebrew is what the Jews actually came from for their main language. And so the Aramaic was kind of a muddled version of Hebrew. And so you'll see some stuff in here. Yeshua, that was Jesus' name, answered and said to him, Aman, Aman, there it is. I say to you that if a man is not born from the beginning, he is not able to see the kingdom of Elohim.
So what Elohim is?
Elohim is God. Elohim is God, and it's interesting. It's a Hebrew word, and it has an M on the end. It's interesting. It's really saying gods, because the M signifies plural.
Wow.
So, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Gotcha.
So, as we look at this, and we think about this, what is Jesus trying to say? Is he trying to say we need to be born again? Is he trying to say we need to be born from above? Or is he saying we need to be born from the beginning? I think they're all inclusive. I think this Greek word that was used is talking about a brand new life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that you are a new creation. You know?
Old things
have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a newness to our life when we receive Christ. And sometimes we see that drastically in old life conditions. Right, Derek? Old life conditions were a certain way. I can attest to this. You know, you did certain things. You went certain places with certain people. And then you receive Christ and those conditions changed because your heart wasn't in that anymore. You became a new creation. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, that is a process to fulfill and finish that transformation. And I was telling Jess the other day, I believe that my whole existence now in God from eternity through eternity, however you want to put it, is going to be becoming that new creation. I'm here to tell you, and this may really, I know Panda, sometimes I say things that just like kind of tweak and rock your world, but I don't think we ever arrive. Does that mess you up to think that we might not ever arrive? Why? Because we get to continually grow in the knowledge of God. And it says that the heavens of heavens can't contain him. If that's the case, how are we ever going to find him out? So what does that mean? As we grow in knowledge of God, we grow. So we're always going to be growing in the knowledge of God. We're always going to be coming to the awareness and the experiential knowledge of who he is. So this word anthoden, probably butchering it, from above or again, from the beginning or the top. I want us to understand that it's not so much about, am I born again? Am I born from above? Am I born from the beginning? But are you born from God? Because God is the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Well, in the beginning was him. So in God was God. Oh, I know it gets so confusing sometimes when we try to put our mind around God. But just think of it this way. There's nothing that contains God. So all existence that we know is God. Mm-hmm. But nothing contains him. He's outside of containment. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think about these too long, you can really hurt your brain. You could go into epileptic shock or something. So don't think about it too long. But what I'm trying to say is that, are we born from God? I think that's what Jesus is saying. Those who are going to see the kingdom of God are born from God. And they're born again from God. Mm-hmm. And they're born from the Spirit of God. Okay. Let's go ahead and see what Nicodemus does with this now. Poor guy. Nicodemus said to him, okay, Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? And can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He was just really playing his cards right there. And Jesus like probably went, oh my goodness. I bet if we could, he would have liked this. Oh, no, you are a teacher of the Hebrews, the Jews, and this is what you say? Right? Oy vey. I mean, they do that back then. Oy vey. I don't know. But Nicodemus was using his natural mind to understand spiritual principles. See, he said, heard Jesus say, what? Born from above, born from the beginning. Sounds like he, in his mind, he thought he needed to be rebirthed. Because he says to Jesus, do I need to go back in my mother's womb? So his statement kind of solidifies what Jesus was talking about. Sounds like Jesus was saying, you need to be rebirthed. And Nicodemus is going like, oh, that's not a good thing. It's like, because he's probably going, oy vey, when Jesus said, they're not communicating on the same level here.
Obviously.
So let's look at some scriptures that maybe help us realize where poor Nicodemus was. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I'm here to tell you that I have changed my viewpoint on this verse. I used to think this was always talking about an unbeliever, somebody who was not a Christian at all, but it's not. It's talking about the natural mind, the natural man, the natural way of thinking is the way that Nicodemus was flowing there. Okay, Jesus just said I got to be born again because I want to see this kingdom. I want to see it. I'm hungry for the kingdom. Obviously, he desired something. He was, even though he went by night, he did go to Jesus and he was inquiring of him. But the natural mind can't receive it. So I'm here to tell you, if you hear things in the Bible or you hear things from others, maybe testimonies, maybe teachings. Now, there's times, obviously, that teachings can be just like garbage. You know, people are saying their own minds, they're saying their own thoughts, they're interpreting the Bible wrong. But I'm talking about the right stuff. But you can't receive it because you're going like, oh, that makes no sense. You've got to get beyond your natural mind. You've got to get into your spiritual thinking. Because it's only by that way. What?
So people who are new into this.
Come here. No, too much.
I can't hear you.
Can't hear you.
You're whispering too quiet, yeah.
So for people who are new to
you know, the Christian faith, or even those who are new into this kind of belief, how do we get into our, out of our natural thinking? What are some things to do? What is a way to get around that natural thinking?
Well, that's a very good thing. It says in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. You guys can probably quote it. It's quoted a lot, but it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So what it's talking about there, again, is this natural mind, this natural reasoning that we can lean on. For instance, this week, I mean, it was blasted on the news like nobody's business because it was moving along such a specific course, and you know, they had it dialed in where this hurricane was going, and I mean, you heard about it all the time, and so the natural mind could start thinking about all these scenarios. You know, well, what if, you know, what if it hit directly in Miami, and we can all of a sudden start picturing all these different. I'm sure you probably did, because your daughter's there, so your imagination starts taking off. Your natural reasoning starts even building these scenarios.
Well, because they're panicking because there's over 6 million people in Miami.
It's, you know, it's not good.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that gives you an opportunity to lean on your own understanding. I've said this before. You know, you're at a business, and it's spoken that, you know, there may be layoffs. Well, you're starting to go, okay, well, I was hired. You know, you're starting to figure this out. You know, when was I hired? What pecking order am I in? And am I in this next set of layoffs? And so all of a sudden you can like be thinking, okay, I'm going to be on the streets. And, you know, you've got this scenario running in your head, and you're leaning on your own understanding. You're leaning on your own wisdom. You're leaning on circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so that is what you're talking about. How do you get away from that? You trust in God. So you say, Lord, I can't see what's going on here. I hear a lot of bad reports. I hear a lot of bad news, but I trust you. Mm-hmm. And I put this situation into your hands, and I believe, like I pray, your angels have charge over us. Mm-hmm. You know, and you could say this, Chantel, I'm yours, Lord, and I'm claiming that my household is saved. And so I claim that the protective angels that I have around me will guard the rest of my family. Huh? That'd be a lot, but who cares? Well, he's got lots of angels. I'm just saying that's putting it into a different perspective,
right,
of what the situation could be.
Right.
Now, does that mean that everything's always going to work out? No, in this life, you're going to have tribulations. But how do we choose to view those tribulations? Do we choose to view those as a killer blow that takes us out? Or do we choose to view those tribulations, like Josiah says, as a way to know Jesus more?
Right.
I'm telling you, this book is full of wisdom. Mm. Josiah's Fire, I highly encourage you to get it. I mean, you will be blessed, you will be encouraged, and you will be challenged. Because he's got really no business to be communicating the stuff that he's communicating about. So he's spiritually minded. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we're so
earthly minded,
so life minded. You know, it's not like God's up there and saying, oh, those stupid people. I'm just so mad at them. They can't get it right. All they do is think about life, 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 life. And they don't realize I'm right here. No, he's going like, oh, I hurt for them. I hurt for them like when I see a sparrow fall, you know, out of my... I mean, I hurt for them because I know they could have so much more, but they're so bogged down with the worries of life. That's why Jesus said, man, bring it to me. All your cares, all your burdens, all your worries, and give them to me and take my yoke upon you. You know why? Because his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and we're going to find rest for our souls. What'd you say?
Matthew 11:28.
Thank you. Yeah, one of my favorite scriptures right now. Does that answer your question, or is that too vague?
Vicki,
does that answer your question?
Yeah, well, I was trying to get more towards some people think, oh, okay, so I'm going to have faith, but sometimes how do they bolster that? Does that mean going into prayer? Does that mean, I was trying to get you to encourage people to pray and to talk to other teachers and brothers.
Right.
Right.
Fellowship. Okay. You go through the standard list. Yes, you pray. You can read your word to find faith, encouragement. And all of those are part of connecting your heart to trusting God.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's hard to trust God when you haven't had any testimonies of God's blessing and healing. And so when you hear somebody else's testimony mm-hmm. by communicating to them or watching something on YouTube, you can go, oh, if he did it for them, maybe he can do it for me. Okay, I need to keep going, but thank you for that input. Okay. The natural mind does not receive the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. They're spiritually judged. Here's another one. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Yeah. So the natural man, the natural reasoning profits nothing. That natural state. You know, we just think of the flesh. We think, okay, the flesh profits nothing. Obviously, the flesh where it's involved in sin and depravity and all kinds of things that, you know, are not the character of God. Obviously, that profits nothing. But that's not only it. It's also the natural mind, the natural part of us that can basically keep us from profiting in God. Because we have to get to the spirit of what Jesus is saying. And poor Nicodemus, he wasn't getting to the spirit. He was wondering, how do I go back in my mother's womb? So Jesus goes on. He must have saw the look of bewilderment and his statement about needing to go back in his mother's womb. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Most assuredly, that's that aman, aman again. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So if we look at this, Jesus, I believe, is saying, unless one is born of water, some people say that this is talking about baptism. It's very possible it could be talking about baptism. But it's interesting because he talks about the next verse, that which is born of flesh is flesh. And how many know what the baby is in, the mother's womb in? Amniotic fluid, which is water, basically, right? It's mostly water. They're swimming around in water. So would you say that they're born of water? Yeah. And to be born of the Spirit means to be born of the breath of God. Now, I don't have this here, but it's interesting that this word of is translated here. Huh? Right, that's what I just said. Some say about baptism, but I'm using the Bible to interpret the Bible. And if you notice that in verse 6, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You got to be born of the water and the Spirit. So I'm not saying that it can't be baptism, because that's very valid as well. I'm just saying in this particular passage, it looks like he's talking about being born of water, but anybody can, you know, which have issue with that. Which
born of water means flesh.
Means born flesh. Well, he says that which is flesh is flesh.
Right.
And when we're born in the flesh, are we not flesh? Just everybody pinch themselves right now.
Ouch.
Ouch. Yeah, I know. Yeah, so. That's flesh. That's your nerves. And, I mean, and you came out of water to be flesh. So, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So, to be born of the Spirit means to be born from the midst of the Spirit. Now, isn't that interesting? Because where are we born from? We're born from the midst of the mother's womb. And we're born of the Spirit. It should be, we're born from the midst of the Spirit, should be the way it's translated. And again, it's just for shortening it, but it's talking about a spiritual birth. It's talking about a brand new creation. And when does this happen to us? I mean, does this happen to the 8-year-old that first walks up to the church and says, Jesus, I want you in my life? You know, did it happen to me, you know, sometime before I received Christ? You know, no, it came when I was ready to follow him. And I believe it's an instantaneous thing. I believe as soon as I said, Jesus, I want you, he said, oh, good, because I've been wanting you the whole time. I've been just waiting for you to say those words. You know, it's like I do. It really is like an I do. You know, Jesus is constantly saying, will you be my, and we just always say, no, I don't even believe in you. I mean, all my different excuses, you know, you were part of the mythology group, you know, you never existed. I had all these things. I was pretty much like an atheist to Jesus. I come believed in a power in God, but that was about it. But finally I said, I do believe in you. But I only believe in you, I'm going to give you my life. So, I mean, I betrothed Christ. Mm-hmm. And I became part of the bride of Christ. And when that happened, the Spirit of God birthed me. And the Spirit of God became alive in me. Now, the Spirit of God drew me. The Spirit of God talked to me. The Spirit of God was working with me. But when I received Christ, I was born of the Spirit. And guess what? I started seeing the kingdom of God. I started seeing God working in my life. I started sensing God in my heart. I started feeling different about my future and my destiny. It was a change. I became a new creation. So let's look at another verse here. 1 Peter 1:23. Having been born again. So Peter's using that terminology, born again too. Not of a corruptible seed. And that would mean not of the seed of man, folks. I won't use the other word, but you know what that is. But incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we were born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed. Through the midst of the word of God, which lives and abides in us forever. See, when we're in Christ, we're in Christ. The only thing that keeps us out of Christ is when we don't remember we're in Christ. When we live as if we're living to our natural reasoning. And it's not the way God wants us to. He wants us to live in his spirit, in his mind. It says, be in this mind, the same mind that Christ had, the mind of Christ. We're to have the mind of Christ. One more verse and then I can see you've got like stuff going off. Yeah. 1 John 1:12-13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born. See, you were born. But you weren't born of the blood of man, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but you're born of God. To be born again is to be born of God. To be born from above. To be born from the midst of the beginning. We come from God. Because when we come from the Spirit of God, from the midst of the Spirit of God, we come from God. The Spirit of God is not some separate part of God that just works like some kind of, you know, business, you know, arrangement and takes care of. No, the Spirit of God is God. And we're born from the midst of God. We are born of God. And it's not a corruptible seed. What does that mean? It means it can't corrupt. Is that not good news?
Really good news.
I'm sure Nicodemus is still scratching his head. Maybe not now. He's probably got it figured out now.
It's Go really ahead. Funny because as I'm sitting here listening, I'm thinking about how many times at the beginning, when I first became a Christian, I was in the spirit, out of the spirit. I probably gave him whiplash, you know what I mean? Because there were times that I reacted totally fleshly, and then there were times that I reacted totally spiritually. And I know when I acted fleshly, I know I didn't disgust him, but it would be like, again, you know, seriously. You know what I mean?
I think that's quenching the spirit.
Yeah, but, you know. And I didn't realize it was that in me, that I was quenching the spirit mm-hmm. in me, but I was. And this morning, as I was getting ready for church and, you know, doing the things that everybody does, I'm praying for our son-in-law and my daughter because they're flying out from Cleveland tonight, and the funeral is Tuesday at noon, and then they fly back out separately on Wednesday morning early. She goes to St. Louis for a national convention that she's speaking at, and he goes home, and she's 7 months pregnant. And all of this to them, that they're not used to looking at spiritual things. They're not living a life for God. I mean, I believe she is. I'm not going to say where they're at spiritually because I don't know.
That's
God
good.
Knows
exactly.
And she never fails to ask me to pray, because this morning she woke up in a gallbladder attack on top of everything else, and she flies in 3 hours. So she's asking me to pray for her. So I do, on text message. I'm just, you know, that I thank God for that little microphone. I don't know. I mean, you know, my fingers would get so tired. But I prayed, and I sent it off to her, and she's so grateful and so thankful. But then the Lord is telling me, he's like, okay, I picked the perfect time for them to really be awakened to more. I've given them this baby. He loses his dad. He is very angry toward God. Why would he take the best person in the whole wide world from him? Because his dad was everything to him. And, you know, that's not a good God, is what he says. And God has given them this baby. I'm back to the baby. And the baby, when we showed the picture of the baby being held in the hands, I knew that it was a picture from God for future things. Do we still have that picture online, Jess, of the baby?
Somewhere. You have to probably look in the photos.
And you'll see what I mean. But God said, you know, God said, this is a gift for me. She's going to help him see me. This baby is from me. This is a gift that I'm giving them to help him see me, God. See God. I believe that with all my heart. And when Melissa sent us this picture, most of you have seen it, but she sent us this picture. She sent it to him. She sent it to me. And he immediately texted back and said, who's holding her? Like, this is an ultrasound of the baby inside. Who's holding her? And she goes, what? And he says, there's hands holding that baby. And she looked at it and she said, wow, I guess you're right.
No, she had already noticed.
Had she noticed?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. I'm like, were you here when we showed that picture, Phyllis? Oh, you're going to see it, girl. Oh, my goodness. I hope Jesse gets it up.
Crying.
But anyway, I'm just going to tell you, God knew Daddy Wayne was going to be going to heaven. God knew Daddy Wayne was dying. He knew it before she even got pregnant. They could have gotten pregnant any time. She got pregnant. And now she's pregnant with this baby that is going to be a hope for them as a family and lead them to Jesus as a family. You see what I'm trying to say, you guys? Yeah, there's bad things that happen to all of us. But if we're really in the Spirit, born again and in the Spirit, oh, you guys, life is really good, even though sometimes it doesn't look so great. It's really good. And he really cares. He is a good, good father. He is a good, good father. He is. Did you find it, Jay? Okay, sorry. I wish I could do it from mine because I have it. But
yeah, that's...
Anybody that's not seen the picture, come see me after church and I'll show it to you on my iPad.
It's really impressive.
So, Lisa, come on.
Go ahead, yeah.
Today when we were practicing, I think it was just Pastor and I singing, God was speaking to me about the simplicity of the love of God. Because we get it. The other day in the house, I was trying to untangle a cord. And it was so complicated, and it didn't have to be. And I think that's what we do with Jesus. And I remember the day that I got saved. All I knew, I didn't know anything about God. All I knew was I was rough. Not that I'm smooth now, but
rougher.
I was rougher. And just party and woo, you know. And so when I came to Christ, I mean, man, I came, boom, you know, I was like, something's got to change. And I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it, probably a lot like Nicodemus, but all I knew was, I was like, God, I know you're real, but I need you. I need you to change my life. And so I remember going up to the altar. They made an altar call for people to be saved. And I went up there, and I was crying so hard I couldn't even pray. And the next day, I was riding around with my friends, and I was trying to describe to them. I said, I feel different. Not that sometimes you don't feel anything, but in my case, I did. Something was different in me. Something was completely different in me, and I didn't have the words to explain what had happened, but it was almost like a physical click in my mind and in my heart. And I was thinking this morning when Pastor and I were just practicing Good, Good Father, I thought about how hard we are on ourselves and how we take the Word of God and you could beat yourself to death with it.
Oh, boy.
And it's so simple because he's a good, good Father. And the bottom line is he loves me.
Yeah.
He loves me. That was this morning because I had been thinking about it. And the truth of the matter is, it's so simple. He just loves me. And I don't have to complicate the holy tar out of it, but I can just walk in his love and just know that he loves me.
Yeah.
And so that's my thing. Just we complicate the tar out of it. We don't need to.
Right. As you were talking there, I was also getting this picture of you've seen cats like with laser lights. Oh, did you find it?
Yeah, he did.
There, do you see it?
The hands underneath the baby's face.
I don't have there's, a pointer.
Yeah. There's
the thumb. Move your... See? I mean, I saw it immediately. I go, sis...
Who's holding the baby?
How's that happening? How's the hand being shown up on the ultrasound?
I know.
Yeah, and the hand's holding the baby's cheek. Yeah, I mean, I was like, how did that happen? So that's what Gay's saying is that God's in this. You know, God is, and God, you know, God's doing trippy things now, guys. I mean, like a 7-year-old autistic boy basically communicating the love of God from a heavenly perspective and teaching his mom how to be spiritual.
Even more spiritual than she already was.
And she was a pastor.
Yeah.
And the point I'm trying to make is that we're in a new day. We're in a new time and we need to be spiritual.
Thanks, Jesse.
What? Oh, go to Sid Roth. It's Supernatural. And matter of fact, next week, Jesse, remind me, and we'll run, I think it's like a 10-minute clip of just the highlights. It's that important. I mean, I believe Josiah has a message for us. I mean, there's people who have written in that. I mean, basically college professors and saying, mm-hmm. listen to this boy. He is dialed in right now. He wrote about probably a 20 paragraph or maybe 10 paragraph deal on the hurricane. And he's talking about everybody's looking at the Doppler, but what about looking to God basically is what he's saying. Everybody's looking at what we're supposed to expect, mm-hmm. but what about our, you know, I'm paraphrasing. He said it's a different, but what about our expectations in the one who can control the winds and the seas? I mean, you know, he sees things mm-hmm. through different eyes. Go ahead.
But it could have been us. I mean, we could. God picked him, but God could have picked us.
Right. Well, he wants to communicate to all of us like he's communicating.
Exactly.
To him.
That's what I'm saying. We have the opportunity of zoning in to God just like he does. Just going through, cutting like a knife or a laser through all of this mucky stuff here on earth. We have in us the same thing Josiah does, to cut through all of that to get to the heart of God,
right,
the depth of the heart of God.
He wants to have a relationship with us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I believe that.
He uses the weak to teach the strong.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
And to confound the wise. Exactly. So, amen.
So good.
Well, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be together. And Father, I speak your blessing, Lord, over my family here right now, Lord. I pray you bless them, Lord,
yes,
in their places of employment. Bless them, Lord, with job promotions. Bless them, Lord, with more business. Bless them, Lord, with the ability, God, to be a blessing at work, to be someone, Lord, that brings the wisdom of God and the counsel to God, Lord, to their workplaces. Lord, bless them in their homes. Mm-hmm. Bless them, Lord, in their family relationships. Bless them, Lord, in their finances. God, bless them, Lord, in their recreation time together. Father, I just pray that you, Lord, as you promised in your word, Lord, would kneel down before them and bless them yourself, Lord. Just as you displayed, Lord, the greatest blessing of hanging on a cross for each and every one of us, Lord, so that we could live free and new lives. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, ladies, if you're interested in next weekend on Saturday, I do need to see you and find out. I need to get a list compiled. Okay? So just let me know.
Pastor?
Yes. For those of us with families. Oh, another prayer for Florida. We prayed at the beginning. We can pray again, though. No, we're good. We're good because we were praying specifically for her daughter. So we'll pray for Florida and the surroundings. So, Father, right now, Lord, we again come before your throne of grace for Florida. And, Father, we know, Lord, as we prayed earlier, God, that you know, Lord, and love our family members even more than we do. So, Lord, we pray that you would just surround them, protect them. Lord, we pray that hurricane, Lord, would not do harm to individuals, Lord, but that you, God, would allow, Lord, your protective covering, Lord, over everyone that's involved. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you are at work, Lord, in all things. Even in this, what would seem to be tragedy, God, you can make it good. So we release your goodness and your best, Lord. What the enemy's meant for evil, you turn it to good. In Jesus' name, amen.